So if we're going to change in whether it's in terms of how we minister, whether it's how we interact with our husband or our family, or in any way, or how, most importantly, we are with God, we're not going to make the change happen. All we can do is yield to the change happening. So we can say yes, and we can follow whatever steps he's going to give us, but we can't actually decide, oh, I'm going to start a New Year's resolution, and I am going to spend this much time with Holy Spirit every day, and because it won't be real. But if he does it from the inside out, it will be real. Because that's how it always happens. It always happens that way. So when he's changing something in us and he gives us an alert, it's almost like an alert. Because I know if we get at all sensitive to God, we're going to know when something's upcoming, something's shifting in us, or when there's a need for something to shift in us. And if that's coming, that we need to attend to what he's saying. So if he's saying, take time out, or if he's saying, I don't want you spending all your time doing this. I want you to just wait on me and figure out what that means when you start waiting on him, not go, okay, waiting on him means so that you don't even do that. You just say yes. Then he teaches you how to do it. And he actually just walks with you. You're not even learning a lesson per se. You're just simply going, okay, I agree. Change needs to happen. I know that you're wanting to do that because I keep asking for more of you. So obviously in asking to yield to more of you, then I can't be where I'm at now because I won't be able to stay in that place. So he's just showing me that when he's bringing on change within us, and I mean, we're changing every day to some degree anyway, but like major change, let's put major shift in our understanding, major shift in our way of being with ourselves, with others, with him. That has to then, it doesn't come across, it doesn't come by our manipulating the circumstances. Oh, I should do this instead of this. Oh, I'll add that and take away that. We can't do it like that. It is a supernatural process. And that's why it's a bit scary because it's hands off. I don't know what I'm going to do next.
We're not in control. That's right. We
Yeah,
don't
we're
have the
not in
agenda.
control. And we never were anyway, so we might as well fess up to
Right.
that reality,
Yeah,
get
yeah.
over it. But I think it's important for people to believers to realize that not only is he on our side, he wants, these changes that we may want or this, we might call out to him and say, Lord, the way I'm doing whatever it might be, the way I'm in relationship with my husband isn't working. Please help me. You intervene, you come close, you do this, you do that. I need you. And he'll shift it. And it isn't by you going, oh, now I'm going to make dinner at a certain time instead, or now I'm going to say good morning and make his coffee, or I'll never argue about television again. It's not figuring out specifics. It's just simply saying, I want this change. I'm willing to yield to you, and you're going to show me how to do it. And that's where that ordering the steps happen. But we normally
Yes.
will ask for the change and then we want to do the steps. And he's going,
Yeah.
no, 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 no. And when he
But it's
went,
like you said, it's not a formula
it isn't,
for
it
sure.
isn't. And when he says to you, well, this is what he said to me. I'm not saying he's ever going to say this to you, but he certainly has said it to me. You haven't looked after me. That means I have to look at what have I been doing more of than having any time with him. And because some people
Right.
are so driven, I'm raise my hand, and others will drive the driven, and then the driven will try to drive the undriven, and that's really a disaster. And in all of that is not what he's asking us to do. When you look at what Jesus did on the cross, he did not do that simply so we would go around and pray for people. I mean, that cannot be why he would sacrifice himself and be cut off from himself, God from God, just so that we would
Right.
go be nice to our neighbors or maybe pray for them or grow their leg out or, help them with their cancer or whatever, although those are all good things. That's not why he
Yes.
died. He died for union, complete oneness with
He
us.
wants, right.
And you
I
can't
agree.
have it without being with him, as
Right.
offensive as that can be, to some
No,
people.
I like I said, I felt like I neglected him for three or four days of all the company and all the chaos, all the kids and all the running and all the getting up. And before you have your coffee, I usually have time with him.
Yeah, that's right.
Holy Spirit. And all your routine's gone. I'm going, oh, help me, Lord.
The routine can be really good, can it? I mean, sometimes I was thinking that today because I'm a very unstructured person. I don't like structure. I struggle with structure. And some people are very structured, and without it, they can't survive. And others, like me, with it, I feel strangled. But it has its place. It definitely has its place. But what we want to do is let Holy Spirit even decide the structure.
Yes.
That, yes, there is structure necessary in a daily day-to-day life. You need to. You know, things have to be done. The laundry has to be done. The dishes have to be done. You have to do the grocery shopping. If you're working outside the home, you have to get up at a certain time and go to work. You know, you have to drive there. All of that stuff has to happen. But when we're in a situation where we're not necessarily, in that routine, let's just talk spiritual routine. I think that's what he really wants to talk about. The spiritual routine has to be set by Holy Spirit. It can't be predetermined and superimposed on him by us, because we're not the ones leading. So he has to be telling us, this is how it's going to work best. And most of the time we're too busy thinking we're doing the right thing, whether it's, you know, ministering to somebody or taking care of, you know, a family member or whatever it is that we're doing. We think we've got it under control, or we even think that that we're doing the best. I feel like he's saying this: you are not doing my optimum. Isn't that amazing? You are not. And I'm like, you know, I'm not doing your optimum. What?
I've been working so hard.
I've been so good for so long. You know, this is what we do. We think serving the body or the lost or both is, you know, God's optimum. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. And we hear it over and over because there's so many teachings nowadays that are trying to push people off the pews. And on one aspect, that's really good. But then they push them off the pews without relationship with him. That's very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to know, you know, who's your daddy, who's your savior, and who lives in you. And if you don't, and know them in relationship, not just as a concept or a Bible scripture, you've got to know them in relationship so that when you come up against something hard, you can actually say, all right, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to figure this one out. This is too hard for me. Help me overcome. Show me what to do. And he does do it so fluidly. But we, you know, so if people are going to be moved off the pews, they have to have relationship first. And if they don't, you know, and you do develop relationship while you're getting off the pews and actually serving humanity, which is, we are called to be salt and light. However we do it, doesn't mean you have to run around in all the supermarkets or shopping centers and pray for people. That is not the only way to be salt and light. Sometimes that's not being salt or lighter anyway, because it's about you.
Well, I'm grateful because I haven't been stepping out. There's a lot of people I could be stepping out with, you know, as far as laying hands and praying, which I prayed over my mom, you know, when she was in the hospital, or I pray over family members or something. But I'm only usually doing that as I'm led.
Yeah,
and
that's
I'm full on agreement with you that I am not stepping out. Because I want to know Holy Spirit so instantly, he'll tell me when to step out. I know he will. And I'm not just going to run out there and, you know, try to see everybody getting healed. And then, you know, not even spirit-led to do it. You know, like compulsion.
Yeah.
Just like when giving out a compulsion or a God loves a cheerful giver, which one are you going to do? Because you have to, you feel compelled. Or do you want to do it because you want to, out of your heart?
Yeah.
There's a different gift behind that, you know.
Absolutely.
A whole different meaning.
Absolutely. I mean, he's very concerned with our hearts.
Yeah.
If the heart isn't in the right place. I read it today. What was it in Matthew 6? Talked about the eye being the lamp. And if the lamp was dark, the whole body was dark. And like, you know, we say that old saying is the eyes are the windows of the soul. So it really is telling you what's happening inside you, how your eyes are. So if our eye is dark, if we're looking from a place of either wanting so badly to help people because it gives us value. See, last night he showed me, Holy Spirit showed me, that this is all Holy Ghost. When Jesus started praying for people, when miracles started to happen through him, signs, wonders, healings, was after he received the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not before. He was not a 12-year-old laying hands on people and seeing lepers healed.
Absolutely.
You know? And he wasn't even 29. Making a table for somebody and they had a crook back laying hands on them. He wasn't doing that. Mm-mm. He did it when the Spirit came upon him. And what that showed me, I was actually looking at it in this other book on healing, which is quite a good one. It's just very simple. And as I was reading this chapter just about Holy Spirit and how he is, you know, not only is he the power who brings forth the healing, but without him, there is no power. And Jesus did it. And people will say, well, the disciples, you know, they didn't have that before Jesus obviously was crucified, died, buried, and risen. There was no Holy Spirit in them. They were just with him watching what he did. And they, from that place, they were. So if even in terms of our salvation, even in terms of our behavior and how we become different people, we get transformed. That's obviously an inside job. It's not us doing it. But if we're stuck in the law and we think that I've got to be a certain way for God to accept me, do certain things for him to love me, and even though horrible things have happened to me and I'm still supposed to be nice to everyone and still supposed to be caring, but really inside, you know, I'm so messed up, but I'll try because I've got to be good for God. If we're doing it from there, any change that we do make is totally external. And it's never done from the depths of our heart. And only he can do that. Once we learn truly what his grace means, which means I am forgiven forever and ever, amen. I do not want to defile that. I do not want to in any way take that for granted. And if I make a mistake or say I even, say, you know, say it's a small thing, not necessarily a major ordeal, say, okay, say you see somebody else getting a, you know, you saw this parking space, but you know in your heart of hearts that other person saw it first. But you know you've got a better angle and you're going to get it. So you go in there and you take it, yeah? Okay, because it's really hot and you're tired and you've been looking around this stupid parking lot for 3 hours, you know, and you really don't care anymore. Okay, so you get your space and the other person looks at you like really miffed and they see your little Jesus sign on the back and you're like, yeah, I thought so. You know, and you've kind of blown the whole thing. You know, you've blown the whole thing. Yeah. You get out of the car, you're feeling it a bit upset in your stomach, and you're like, oh, this is silly, and I shouldn't have, and why did I? Oh, and, you know, you beat yourself up, and, of course, the enemy jumps in at the party and takes a few, you know, hits at you as well. And you walk in, and you go to the mall, and you're going to do all your shopping and all of this stuff. And then you go to the Father, or Jesus or Holy Spirit, whoever you want to talk to, you know, and you say, or Elohim, you know, all three. And you say, okay, I know I blew it. I know it was selfish. But I'm not going to be condemned because I know what Jesus did. And that was far greater than my being stupid enough to take somebody else's parking space. So, Lord, I thank you that I'm free. And I thank you that you've already forgiven me. And I thank you that your blood covers everything I do. And I ask you for an opportunity to make it up to that person in Jesus' name. And that's it. You know, and you're not, then you're, the condemnation cannot take hold. Not because you confessed it to God and, oh, phew, got in quick enough, short account with God. No, because I am related to him. I'm his child. And I can go to him any time of day or night and say whatever it is that's on my mind or heart and know that I am always accepted in him. And if a person is sinning, say, intentionally in an area, you know, like it's more severe than that. You know, we can say other situations can be more severe. Maybe they're stealing. Maybe they're embezzling from the company. Maybe they're committing adultery. Okay. And that is not in any way saying, oh, yeah, that's all right. You know, God forgave you. It's okay. That's not what grace is. Grace is not taking advantage of God and the cross of Christ. Grace is knowing that when I blow it, I can go to him knowing I'm already covered, I'm already restored, I'm already redeemed, already. And that if I'm having trouble with an issue, I can go to him and say, can you help me with this? Because I can't overcome it. And he goes, come here, darling. You know, with his arm, you can just see it, his arm coming around you. It's okay. Let me tell you how you can, how we can do this. That's what he's like. That's his grace. It's not pretending we don't have problems and denying them, going, well, everything I do is good and covered by the blood, so everything I do is beautiful. No, it's not. You know, I mean, come on. Every day we do things that are not honoring to the Father, whether it's being impatient with somebody or yelling or taking parking spaces or adultery or whatever it is that people do in their day that is against God. We don't want to pretend that that's not there, but we do want to know that I've got a Father who's so gracious, who gave me his Son in exchange for my all of the ugliness that I had, and then gave me his very Spirit to live in me, to help me through everything. And people know a God like that. Why in the world would you want to sin? But they don't know that one. They know the mean daddy in the sky one, who's always watching them to see what they're doing wrong. So that, you know, by that time, you're so pressured for so long, you just can't stand it anymore. It's like a child in a schoolroom who has a really strict teacher who's always looking for them doing something wrong. You don't really want to behave. You're only in fear. So you try to behave so that you're not in trouble, but you're not doing it out of love. You're not doing it because you have a great relationship with the teacher and you want to please the teacher. You're doing it because you know, if I don't do this, I'm going to get my knuckles wrapped.
Right. Right.
There's the difference.
So and then the difference too, then, like we mentioned adultery or stealing, which are in the command, Ten Commandments, and we couldn't keep that law, but it's still there to remind us. So is that mixture or is that wrong? Because or is the Holy Spirit just purge our conscience? He will purge our conscience from evil works.
Well, not only that, and he said he would write his law on our hearts.
Our heart.
Okay, it's already in there. We don't need to go back to the Ten Commandments and go, oh yeah, what's number seven? You know, we don't need to do that. Because his very character, we're partakers of the divine nature. His very character lives in us. We know when we've done it the wrong way.
Absolutely.
We know. Sometimes we know before we've done it because we know what our intention is and we just do it anyway. But you know what is so amazingly gracious about God is you can have a terrible night and have had, you know, been nasty to your family and, you know, yelled at your children and, you know, been harsh with your husband or wife or whatever. And God has never closed the door on you. You just go to him. You're not even, I've done it where I don't go to him and go, oh, I'm confessing my sin. I was so mean. I was so terrible. I don't do it like that. I go to him and go, what's going on with me, Lord? Why am I acting like this? Because this is not who I am. That's what I say. Show me what's happening. And he'll say, excuse me, you're stressed. You never stop. Oh, you know, I mean, revelation.
You're tired.
That's right. You're tired. You're overwrought. You're dealing with too much. That's why you're acting like that. Oh, so that means I need a rest. Yes. You know, light bulb.
This is like simple.
It's so simple. He doesn't hold it against us. See, this is the problem with when we mix the law with grace. The problem with it is that we think he's holding it against us. He can't, because he held it against his Son. He cannot hold it against us anymore. So when someone's not born again and haven't received it, they're not in grace. They're not even in grace. When you have been born again and his Spirit indwells you, from that moment, you are in his grace. Now, if in that place we actively sin, because we like doing something that we know really isn't good for us, but we like doing it. Where do we go? Do we then hide, or do we then say, oh no, I'm under the law? No, because it says if we put ourselves, we have fallen from grace when we place ourselves back under the law. No, we don't do that. The law is dead. There is no law anymore once you're born again. And any law there is in on our hearts. And what's his greatest law? To love God. So how do you love God? You go to him and you go, Daddy, I can't stop this habit, or I can't stop this, you know, I can't stop spending money, or whatever it is that a person might have trouble with. Or I always am speeding because I love it, even though I know I shouldn't. You know, whatever it is, you know, it's big or small that we might think. Doesn't matter, whichever one it is. We're not beholden to the law. People think that means you're going to run out and sin. No, when you are beholden and under a law, when you're oppressed, isn't that when societies will sin the most?
Right.
It is, isn't it? When there's all kinds of punishments looming, not because people just want to rebel, but because it says the law, the sin is stronger in the law. It brings out the strength of sin. That's what the law does. Grace brings out the strength of freedom from the law, the strength of freedom from sin. It increases our strength not to sin. Because when you actually live in grace, you don't want to sin. And when you do make a mistake, whether intentional or unintentional, you know that the grace covers you, not from, oh good, the scorecard's still clean. That's what we're, see, people have got it like that. They think that's what it is. They think grace is about a clean scorecard. And then those that are in opposition to grace think, see, they just take advantage of it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a relationship with God. I never lose my relationship with God, no matter what. That's what grace bought me. Union with the Father. I'm co-joined with him and one spirit with him. I have the Holy Spirit living with me forever. That's what Jesus said. He was going to be sent to live in us forever. Forever never ends. So instead of trying to, what we tend to do is we do it like an accountant. You know, okay, we got the grace accountants and we got the law accountants. And the grace accountants say, okay, phew, I'm covered. You know, I've still got a clean slate. And the law accountants are always looking for, you know, what did you do wrong yesterday? Did you do something wrong today? I know you did something wrong. You should be confessing. They're the other accountants. And neither one is true. Because God's not taking accounts anymore. There is no ledger. Jesus took all of that. It's done. You know, there's no board. There's no board where he's tick marking us, you know, ooh, naughty and nice. He's not Santa Claus. The whole point of the cross was to have relationship with God, unity with him.
Yes.
That's it. That's it. That's what happens. He changes us while we're not watching. And one of the things about, you know, having these two ledgers that we usually have, we've got the grace ledger that said, you know, some people will take advantage and just think, oh, that means, you know, clean slate. And it's still not grace, you see? It's still not grace. Because they're still thinking, wow, I just got under the wire. That is not grace. Grace is poured out like that vision he showed you, the blood of Jesus projectiling out of his chest because he can't wait to give you your freedom.
Hallelujah.
That's grace. It's not, oh, I made it under the wire. And, oh, you know, God can't get me now, haha, because, you know, he took it all out on Jesus, so I'm safe. That's not grace. Because you're not even understanding that what he really wanted to do. No, he wanted to absolutely make you so incredibly new that you, that whoever you were before is dead. And you're new with him and in him. It's better than what anyone's, most of us have believed. It's
yeah.
Much better. Grace is much better than that. It's not just, oh, I'm forgiven. Does that make me feel good now? You know, okay, now what do I do with that? It's because the forgiveness has given us relationship. And that's why some people will go overboard with grace, not from the standpoint of believing that grace is eternal. No, not from there. But they'll go overboard. Well, they make grace the new God, the new idol. Because it's all about grace. We just talk about grace. What happened to Jesus, Father, and Holy Ghost? Because I thought it was all about them, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing Joseph Prince said. He was grace equals Jesus, you know. and what he did, that's grace. And if you just keep coming back to that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, and the grace. Go ahead.
If you have when you learn just learning grace, you know, I thought I knew Jesus, but I'm getting to know him even more on grace, and that he's not this big old ogre who's going to hit me and pound me or turn his back on me.
Mm.
Many times in my walk before, I would think that I've done something that he's got his back turned to me, and I'm just, he's just like disgusted with me. He's, I've done something, he won't talk to me, I can't open heaven, you know, and that was the law of condemnation, to try to figure out my works, what I did, what did I do wrong, that he's not answering my prayer, what did I do, is he mad at me, what did I do, I repented for every sin I could think of, what did I do, and now under grace, we know it's covered, but my question is, as we're learning grace, and we still have some of these sins that so easily beset us, and some of these habits that we want broken, we can't do it anyway, we still have to get more grace till they fall away, or ask them to help them fall away, and petition them, you know, please help me with this area or that area, like we just did about smoking.
Yeah.
In every area, we just keep going until it's gone.
Well, it's not like you don't want to be again working at it. Oh, I've got to do this.
Yeah.
I've got to, you know, it's not about that. When you notice, okay, it's when you notice something going on in your life that you know is really not working, and you've tried on your own strength to deal with it unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
Then you go, Daddy, help me. I can't do this. Holy Spirit, I need your power to overcome. I'm not doing this well. And I'm thank you, and I'm giving it to you, and I'm casting my care about it to you, Daddy. And I know through Jesus it's taken care of, and I know you, Holy Spirit, are my helper, and you're going to help me through it. However you want to, in Jesus' name. Okay, oh, now I'm going to make dinner. That's it.
So when you notice a problem that
you
just haven't dealt
with. Yeah, yeah. It is, and you're not like looking for it, you know, just, it's in your life, and you've gone, oh yeah, I've been dealing with this one for years, oh, this is silly, why am I dealing with this when I know that I am sanctified, perfected forever, a new creation, why am I living like this? That's not being like that. So something's out of order.
Yeah, addictions are bondage.
Yeah, they're awful, and I mean, they come from the enemy, just like when we get sick. If we get sick, we're not supposed to feel condemned and that, oh, if I was a better Christian, it wouldn't have come on me. You know, that's ridiculous. We're in a battle. We're in war. We do want to get to a place where we are, so I've asked him for that. See, but we can ask for that. You can say, Lord, the stripes were enough. What you did, Jesus, was enough to cover every disease and take it from me. So I don't want to have them coming on me anymore. Teach me so well that I just do not, my resistance is automatic.
Wow.
You can ask for that. And you can ask it for other things too. You can ask it for addiction. If addiction is a weakness, I mean, we all have, addiction is a weakness for humanity. We just have different areas. So it doesn't seem to matter. But if you're not overcoming it, it isn't about, you know, it's not like God's your self-help guru. But he gave us the helper.
Yes.
So we're supposed to ask for help. And he always does it in such a fluid way anyway. I mean, you get in closer relationship with God when you ask for his help. When you ignore him because you think, oh, I should be doing this myself, which is impossible anyway, because you can do nothing without Christ and all things with him, we might as well ask for that help. Get that thing over with, because he said that he overcame the world. That means in us too.
Right.
That means he overcame the world in us as well. Because he's in us. So those worldly things that we may still do or be tempted with or fall into, he overcame that.
And I believe that when you are recognizing your weaknesses or your problems, when you notice, it's his gentle conviction, not condemnation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very gentle.
Yeah, absolutely. And even when he is firm, because I've certainly had him be firm about things, but that's because that's my nature. I'm a very stroppy person. So he has to be firm with me.
Conviction still isn't as hard as
No, it, you know what it feels like?
condemnation.
No, condemnation is never from him. Because he condemned Jesus. How can he condemn me? It's not him. Right. It's absolutely not his character. He will not do it. That would be like being unfaithful to us. Because how can he condemn again for what Jesus already took? He placed it on him, that condemnation. That condemnation was already taken. So there's never from him. Conviction, and I wouldn't even call it conviction because I think that's a, you know, that gets a misnomer too. You know, it's like he tugs at you, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, and he'll go, come on, you know what you're doing. And you know I've been talking to you for days about it. And I mean, you never feel like it's a ton of bricks. I've called it a heart spank because it's like an ouch. But I never feel unloved by it. In fact, I always feel just like he said, you know, take the chastening, you had the chastening of your fathers, which was painful temporarily. But the end result is righteousness and peace. Well, we want that, don't we? So if that means, I mean, where he told me, you know, he's trying to make the body know this. Stop trying to be the adult and be the child. We run around and go, oh, well, I'm saved, so now I should know everything. And I should be good all the time, and I should never make a mistake. And he's going, okay, are you a son or are you a father? In heaven, I'm not talking about just fathers that happen to be physical fathers, you know. Which one are you? Because you're acting out of order. That's where we get into trouble. Because we're trying to be the adult that we're not yet. We will grow into that. We will mature just like a child does. You know, if they're 3, don't treat them like a 10-year-old because it's not going to make any sense to them. And if they're 10, don't treat them like a 3-year-old either. You know, God is very age appropriate in terms of our maturity. He knows what we can handle, what we understand. Better than we do. We want to have it all figured out and, you know, done before we even find out what's meant to be done. And we don't have to, all of that is striving. I heard this amazing statement that someone else said. This is a preacher in Kenya. And he said, let's see if I can get it exactly right. He said that the Holy Spirit had said to him, if we're fighting from a place of trying to win, we've lost already.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Because we have already won. So why are we fighting to win?
You know what? I'm going to ask Holy Spirit, you know, because I don't think I've been getting, you know, the conviction. I just, in the logical sense of my own head,
yeah,
what a waste of money. It's harmful to my body, blah, blah, blah. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I've tried to put them down. And I've made it 4 years. I've made it 3 months. I've made it 6 months. And I pick them back up. But, you know, I didn't really feel condemned. You know, Holy Spirit baptized me with the evidence of speaking tongues when I was a smoker.
Yeah. You know? No, it's...
He's not condemning me.
No, no. No, it isn't. It isn't about that because look, when we come off, you know, we come off the street, so to speak, and we get saved. Come on, we've got every sin known to humanity inside us. If he wasn't going to look at us then, you know, we're in a poor situation. So when we have something that's bothering, you know, that isn't working well in our lives, and I'm not talking about working well on a success ratio, but it's actually put us out of alignment with what we're meant to be, who we really are. We just need to go to him. You don't need to go, oh, please convict me of this so I'll stop. No. You know what you say? Holy Spirit, stop me.
Okay.
That's it. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Now I'm making a cup of tea. Because I'm busy. That's it. I mean, why, you know, when, especially if it's one that's been prolonged, you know, I've never said that one particularly, but I think that's the best way. Just like when people have such horrendous things that have, you know, scars in their hearts of damage to their soul that people have abused them and, you know, in horrific ways and they just cannot forgive. You know, it's just impossible humanly to forgive. They don't have to say, help me to forgive. Oh, please help me to forgive them and not think horrible thoughts. No. You forgive them through me.
Wow.
That's it. And he'll do it. He'll do it so quick that you'll be spun around.
Wow.
You don't have to do any of that other stuff. That's what the grace bought.
Yeah.
He and you, or he and me, he and any believer is one. What we tend to do is look at ourselves from the old self. We still view ourselves often as the old man. And what did Paul say? Reckon yourself dead to sin. Count on it. Count on that you're dead. Don't start thinking that you're not. Because when you start thinking that you're not, you start acting like a sinner. Not that you are one, because you can't be, because you were saved by grace through faith. So you're not even a sinner. So you're living some kind of fantasy land. And the enemy gets in there telling you how bad you are because you did something that, you know, God wouldn't approve of. I mean, that's why Paul had to go to, where did he, I think it was in Corinthians. He had to tell them, you know, okay, all things are permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. And he said, don't use grace as an excuse to sin. Because grace is really that good, Gwen, that people will use it that way.
Wow.
That's how good it is. But he says, don't be like those people. Because what kind of relationship are you going to have with God?
Right.
On a day-to-day basis, that'd be like doing something to your husband or, you know, or me to my husband or somebody, you know, to their wife. Sinning against them every day, knowing, well, I know they'll always love me. Yeah, but what kind of relationship are you going to have? Are they going to feel betrayed? Yes. Are they going to want to talk to you a lot about honest things, about their deepest things in their heart? No. Are you going to have a problem communicating? Yes. That's the risk. God doesn't kick you out of the kingdom. But you don't, and he doesn't kick you out of his heart either, but you don't have the kind of love between you that you're meant to have. See, if we got this as was about relationship, we would forget about the whole rule thing. And we'd forget about, oh, is it grace? Is it law? Is it this? Is it that? We wouldn't even care. Because we'd go, how are you, Holy Spirit? I can feel in my heart that you're hurt, and I don't mean to hurt you, and I don't know why I am, and can you tell me what's going on? And, you know, and he's going to tell you about his grieving, why he's grieved. Because you're grieved at the same time he is. That's how close we are.
Right.
He grieves, I grieve. I'm not separate. It's not like, oh, poor old Holy Spirit's grieving again. That's so sad. No, as he's grieving, I'm feeling it at the same exact time.
Yes. And, you know, like you said, we don't have to sit there and go, you know, should I or shouldn't I do this or do that? You know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, this isn't a license to get away with stuff.
No.
And no. A lot of people looking at it like, oh man, I'm free. I can keep doing what I do. Then that's not relationship. Yeah, you're getting away with stuff. You can keep doing what you're doing. If Jesus really is your Savior and that's the end of it, you don't want a relationship. Because
yeah.
We're already set free, but what kind of relationship is that?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't want that.
And no one would. And see, if somebody's thinking like that, oh, I can still do this and get away with it, they're really not in love with God at all. And they don't know how loved they are, which is even, you know, which is probably the deeper problem.
Yeah.
Because if they knew it, because when you know how loved you are by God, you can't help but fall in love with him. It's just automatic. It does. You cannot help it. He loved us first. That's why we love him. Not because we want to get in his good graces and we don't want him to be mad at us, but because he loved us first. So that person that goes, oh, wow, phew. Oh, this grace thing's really cool. Now I can do this and I can do that. And hey, I'm still saved. And, you know, isn't that great?
See, that's why I want to present it. You know, so as he's showing me, I really didn't know what he really thought of me on the positive sense, not, and under grace, because I'm thinking, oh, you know, what does he think of me? Oh, no. What did he really? And then it was beautiful. And I start thinking about being his bride.
Mm.
And it just I saw this beautiful flowing gown and my long flowing hair. And I saw flowers in my hair and he prepared a table and I had the best seat. And then I saw his eyes and he looked at me with such love. But I'm his bride. And I just started weeping. Mm. You know, I've never really thought of about being his bride.
Mm.
You know, I read Song of Solomon's, you know, and I knew how she looks for her beloved everywhere. And But I never thought of me really being his bride. And he saved me the best seat, and his eyes were like totally just on me. And I know everybody's going to feel that same
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing? I'm going to think I have the best seat. He prepared for me this marriage supper of the Lamb. And he's toasting me, and I'm going, oh, I like champagne, I like wine. And then I'm thinking, oh, he's toasting me with living water.
Oh, wow, how beautiful.
And I went, living water, oh. And so at first it was hard, and then this came, and I'm just going, wow. So I want that intimacy. I don't want to lose that intimacy, because that is grace.
Exactly.
To me.
That's exactly right, Gwen. The intimacy is grace. It is basically the fruit of grace.
Yes.
Intimacy with him. You know, intimacy with him is the fruit of grace. And to miss that because you think you have to be a doer of the word, or you think that you can get away with this, or you feel like, you know, you'll never be worthy. We're missing whatever those choices are, you know, of the mindset. It's really a mindset that we would miss that fruit. Because that's what Jesus bought. That is what he bought. He didn't just buy, you know, it's redemption of sin. Why did we have to be redeemed from sin? Because God couldn't be near us.
Wow.
That's what he lost in the garden. That's why he redeemed us of sin. Because he could never get close enough otherwise.
See, and I want to share the grace where it doesn't, people don't think they get a license to get, you know, to get out of jail card free, you know.
Well, you know, yeah, it is intimacy. And, you know, all you have, you know what will convince people? If you, and your desire to do this anyway, you lay your hands on them and you pray, you know, after, you know, they feel comfortable about you doing it, whether it's family members or whatever, and you pray for his grace to touch them, like, all right, Holy Spirit, show them the grace, reveal your grace, come upon them with grace, and they're going to experience it, and then no one can tell them about it. Oh, it means this, it means that, and this chapter and this verse, and they're going to experience his grace. Okay, so that is probably the one of the best ways. I mean, you can do it through scripture. I'm not saying not to, because we, you know, yes, we want to back up what we say with scripture. But what Holy Spirit's told me recently, well, the last few weeks really, is he said, if you trust me enough, I'll tell you the word before you read it.
Wow.
Because he wrote it.
Yeah.
You know, I think
all
he would know.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
by divine,
it was inspired by him. So what, he's not going to know it? You know, so if he tells you, and what the reason people are so afraid to entertain him, so to speak, in terms of, you know, paying any attention to Holy Spirit, is because they don't know who he is. So they don't know, how am I going to distinguish his voice from, you know, demonic voice or a deceiving spirit? Well, you're going to have to get to know him. You're going to have to take that risk. Once you start getting to know him, you're going to know the difference, and you will always know the difference for the rest of your life.
Hallelujah.
His voice is different than any other voice on the planet,
yes,
or off the planet for that matter. And you can tell by, even like today when I questioned what he said, because I thought, would you say something like that? And then as I was writing it down, I started laughing because I thought, oh yeah, you would, you know, and because he showed me himself in it. So, you know, it's okay to question and go, is that really, you know, if we think, oh, is that really you, Lord? Or I don't understand, why would you say it? But we have relationships, just like if we were going to talk to our husbands or wives or children, and you ask, you didn't understand their question. It's okay to get confirmation, go, oh, what did you mean?
Yeah.
Because you're having a conversation. He's a person. So I can say, are you sure you really, is that what, but I don't get what you meant. And then he reveals it to you, and you either start laughing or you go, aha, or light bulb or whatever happens, because you know, oh yeah, that was you. But the only way we're going to find out is by actually interacting with him. We're not going to find it any other way, not by somebody else telling me.
Right.
You know,
I like the example I gave you that one time. I said, Lord, if these children would just listen, he goes, tell me about it.
Yeah.
And he was talking about all his children.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. The frustration.
I said, laughing. I said, that's really good.
Exactly. And he's like that.
Yeah. And like you said, sometimes he could get really authoritative, you know, like, pray. Like, and it was an emergency, and I did. You know? And I knew. So yeah. We do know it's.
We do. We do. We just, you know, a lot of people have been trained to be deaf, but to him. But in terms, and even with grace, you know, if we don't understand something in grace, well, who's the teacher?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can go, all right, Lord, I think it would be a great question, great thing to say. And I think all of us should know this, because we will come across people saying, oh, you're saying it's just okay to do whatever you want. You know, and you're going, no, I'm not saying that, because if I have a relationship with God, I don't want to just do whatever I want. I want to do what He wants.
Yeah.
Because He's the one who leads me.
Like the question you put out there to him, one of the dares was, ask what it means to be, I died and Christ lives in me.
Mm.
I don't live with Christ in me. Yeah. I really want that to be revealed deeper too.
Yeah. And you just ask him, you know, or you can even, you can go so far as to say, okay, Lord, it says that it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Have me embody that. You can ask, you can go that far.
Ooh.
Yeah, then you're really going for it. That's called, you know, that's called submission. You know, okay, I really mean it.
I don't know why people are afraid of Holy Spirit as a person. That's, I just don't understand it.
Because they don't know him as a person.
they're afraid to know him as a person.
That's right.
He's a person. People look at you crazy.
Yeah.
They go, well, he's a power.
Yeah.
Or he's a, no, you can't give power. You can grieve a person, but you can't grieve
a power. You can't grieve. That's right. And he has a will. Which power? Yes. Which power has a will? You tell me. Which one is it? Is it the power of hydrogen? Mixed with oxygen, or is it, you know, which power has its own will?
Really?
You know, those are just automatic consequences of when you mix things together, but it doesn't have its own will. So, and not only that, I mean, he's referred to as a person by Jesus. Yeah. You know, if that's not good enough, well, I guess, you know, you can say to people, well, then I guess you better ask Holy Spirit what it means that he's a person. You know, go and ask him.
Have him talk to you.
Exactly. That'll baffle. instead of
I guess you could say, well, this is a test. All things test it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Go ahead. It says test all things, and it says hold to what's good. Hold to what's good. Well, he's very, very good. He is very good to hold on to.
I've heard people say, well, I've asked him to talk to me, and I've never heard him. Well, I go, well, you must not be listening.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, do you know what it is? When they haven't learned how to listen. So they'll ask something like, you know, why did my second child die? And they'll just wait there with their hands folded, you know, arms folded. Yeah, I thought so. You weren't going to tell me. And that's their listening. Do you see what I mean? Okay, number one, you're already closed off. And even those, there are people that aren't closed off and just say, I just don't know what I, and what, you know what I find? Is they actually have heard him, but they haven't recognized his voice.
Right.
So, they have listened. They didn't even know they were listening, and then they didn't recognize the voice that they heard in the way that they heard. Because they have this idea of, you know, he's going to come out of the cloud and say, this is my beloved son. And that's how they're expecting
stereotype.
The voice of God is going to be like that. And the voice of God is in so many ways. And once you get to know him, you know, how varied he is in how he communicates, whether it's in pictures or visions or a song or a fragrance. Sometimes you'll even smell a fragrance of him. Or
roses. I've smelled the roses.
Yeah, so have I. Yeah, it's amazing, you know. And,
it is.
Or he'll lead you to a word, you'll watch. You know, I've had Holy Spirit talk to me through a movie, a children's movie, and on more than one occasion.
And
and superimpose, you know, superimpose huge big letters that look like they were chiseled out of stone right on top of a scene in a movie. And the movie said something, and then he elaborated on it, and it was exactly what I was dealing with. So, you know, we don't want to limit him. That's Holy Spirit talking to you, too, because he knows how troubled you are. He lives in you. So it must be it must be quite annoying to live in somebody who's troubled and worried all the time when you're Holy Spirit. You know, how annoying would that be?
Wow.
We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if the temple's all, you know, it's always shaking and quaking, the Holy Spirit's in there. Oh my gosh, they just settle down.
If they would just listen.
That's right, you know. They wouldn't have to shake and quake, you know. I could just tell them it's okay. And you know what the real bottom line about all this is? Is that most Christians, at least in the Western world, and when I go to more and more developing countries or third world countries or whatever the name is currently, when I go there, it's very different. But when I'm in the Western world, the majority of Christians do not trust God, that he's really good. Otherwise, why would you analyze all this?
I was just like that.
Yeah.
I didn't trust.
That's right.
Everywhere in the Psalms, it seems like almost everywhere in the Psalms, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Because they put their trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit was teaching me. I wasn't trusting. And I'm going, oh, okay. Why are you having me write big T's by every scripture? Trust. You know, that's another way he taught me. Because most people don't.
That's right.
Especially if you're, you know, digressing here, but if your earthly father was abusive, it was hard to trust a heavenly father. I noticed I had a harder time.
That is exactly right.
I think I had more relationship with Jesus than the Father, than Abba Father. I talked to the Son or my best friend, but not, I didn't trust God. Isn't that weird?
Yes. No, I understand. I understand.
And I had trust issues. I had trust issues with God.
Yes.
But now I'm seeing the oneness, you know, and it's good. It's all good.
It's a completely different place to come from.
Yeah.
You know, and then you don't have to work at it.
Mm-mm.
You know, and you don't have to figure out is this okay? Is that not okay? And did I displease him or did I do that? Because you're in fluid relationship. You know, when we upset, I'll just give for instance, when I upset my husband because I said something sharp or maybe even demeaning because I was in a bad mood or I was upset or maybe something annoyed me, whatever the reason, I know exactly what I've done. And I know, and I can just look at his face and see that I've cut him to the quick. He doesn't have to say a word to me. And it's the same with Holy Spirit, but he lives inside us. So when I've done something that I know is not upholding who I am, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I know.
Uh-oh.
No, we're here. We're back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I saw that.
No, it's okay. So when I know that, you know, when I've done something like that and I can tell that it's affected, say my husband, because we'll use the human example because we can understand that better. Often.
Yes.
So I've said something derogatory or whatever, and I know inside myself I could just feel like, oh, that would have made his heart sink. But I don't say anything. I don't attend to it right then and there because of pride or whatever. I just leave it, you know, and go about my business, do whatever I'm doing. And then, but it's still bothering me. Inside, it's niggling at me, yeah? Okay, not a conviction per se. I wouldn't even want to call it that because I think that word's been very misused in Christianity. But a tugging.
Yes.
You know, a discomfort inside of me. Now, it's the same with Holy Spirit. When I have grieved him by perhaps just not spending time with him, by trying to spread myself so thin because I'm thinking I'm the savior of the world and I forget that Jesus already did that, you know, or whatever it is that I'm doing. That actually isn't following him, but following my own lead. I know when I've grieved him because I'm hurting inside and it feels uncomfortable. It can feel so uncomfortable that I'll cry. And then I can go to him and say, Holy Spirit, I know I've grieved you. And because I'm grieving right now. So what either, and usually I don't even need to say what's happening. I usually can tell him why. I know exactly what it was. It'll just start pouring out of me because we're one. I'm not having to figure it out. You know, oh, well, what did I do? What did I do? Did I do a naughty thing on Tuesday or was it Wednesday? You know, it's nothing like that. I know in my soul what's missing, where I've gone off and detoured from what he was doing. And the most amazing, or amazing, that word is so overused, I guess the most consoling part is that I can go to him with the thing that I did to him, and there is no nothing in between us. Because my grieving, is for because he's grieving, that's how one we are. You can't be more one than you're one, so that's how oneness works. We feel it at the same time. And then there is no separation. So even in grieving, it's another acknowledgement. It's another celebration of, not the grieving part, but celebration of our unity. I'm in union with him. That's why it hurts me. And the other day when I was crying for the body and all their misunderstandings and all their disparaging the cross without even knowing they're disparaging the cross because they're trying to be good or they're trying to save the world themselves or they think they're beggars or whatever it is that they've placed on themselves. And my heart was in so much pain for the body as his is. Because he lives in me. So I'm crying for the body, physically crying, and so is he's crying. Because there is no, there's no separation with us. You know, it's just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He made us the same way.
Yeah, this last few days, I've really missed him. I don't feel like I grieved him. I've missed him. And why does Holy Spirit wake you up and then you don't wake up right now when he tries to tell you?
Oh, I've done that as well, and I have... Well, I remember one distinct one probably 5 weeks ago, and he was writing actually an article, and he had the first paragraph for me, the whole first paragraph, yeah?
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, and so, and I had it in my head, and I was trying to memorize it, you know, like you're going to memorize a whole paragraph in your sleep, you know, that's really good. Anyway, you know, I'm half asleep, but I did not want to get up. I refused. In the morning, I thought, oh, okay, oh, well, Holy Spirit, I'm ready now. I didn't get it.
Jesse, I woke up and I thought, wow, that's awesome. He was showing me something in pictures.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, okay, what are you trying to show me? And then I fell asleep. He woke me up again. I'm going, wow, I'm going to remember this. He woke me up again. Wow, what are you trying to tell me? Because I wasn't quite awake. I didn't get it all.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just half asleep and we're not thinking. You know, you're not in a place where you can actually make a complete decision.
He was trying to reveal something to me. He really was. He was trying to reveal something to me, and I don't know what. And I know it's important. I don't know what. And I'm going, oh, darn, my flesh didn't want to get up. Oh, so I came out here to get a notepad and pen. I'm going to put it in my bed and go, please come back and visit again tonight.
I'm sure he will.
That's okay. I go, I'll wake up. I promise. I'll write it down. So, Jerry, I have the notepad and pen right by the bed. Lights on.
Yeah, that's a good way. No, that's a really good way to just have a little pad and a pen or whatever. So that you can do that, because otherwise, you know, you're not going to think about it in the middle of the night. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And then I go, I know he might not have been giving me a whole paragraph. He was just wanting to show me something. And I don't know what he wanted to show me. That's why I know he wanted to reveal something to me. And it has to be very important. And I go, oh, darn. So I feel a little frustrated that I didn't crucify that flesh and just get up, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, we learn. Hey, we learn about it, you know. Like that time, I didn't get it later. Yeah, I didn't. I did. No, I missed it. And I'm not saying, no, now don't take that as that means that's what's happening for you.
Oh, okay. Because,
okay, there's no rules about how he's going to relate to you is the same as he's going to relate to me. And even for me, the next time it may not be like that. I remember not wanting to wake up and being resistant to him. Okay? There's a difference. I was resisting him. It wasn't like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, I wonder what it means. But half asleep? It was not like that. It was like, oh, I'll get it later. Okay? And he said, no, you won't get it later. So that was that.
Oh, man. Because I kept waking up going, are you trying to tell me something? You want it? You're trying to tell me? That's awesome. I'm starting to get it. But I fall asleep. And he'd start to show me the same thing again. Three times. I'm going, oh, no. I should have just got up and just said, okay, here I am. What do you want to show me? You know?
Well, we all learn. Yeah, we will learn. We learn from, you know, the next time then you think, oh, it is worth it getting up, you know, and that's how it is for me now. It's like, okay, well, he wakes me, and we're not going to worry about it like it's a, you know, a rule. Oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. But I also want to say this, is that, you know, once we get to know the Holy Spirit, some people will do to him what they've done to Grace. Oh, it's okay, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't work like that. I would not mess with Holy Spirit. You know, yeah. He is nuts. I mean, come on, he killed people and blinded people. I mean, you know, it's not something you want to do. And this was after the new covenant.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you know what I'm saying? And not in the standpoint of that we're trembling in our boots. Oh, no, he's our friend. He teaches us all things. He wants what's best for us. He's never against us. He's always for us. So it's not as though we're supposed to be, you know, running from him. It's the same with the Father, but we better have some respect.
Yes.
With the Father in heaven, who made everything, you know, yes. You don't want to be treating him like he's some cute little puppy.
No. At the same time, he might have been showing me something that was just crossed my mind or a concern that I didn't have an answer to that he could have showed me right away.
That's right.
If I would have woke up and listened, you know.
And that's okay. You know, I mean, the good part is that you actually heard him.
Yes.
Okay? The part where you missed out is that you didn't get up. And the same happened for me. And mine, I knew what it was. It was writing verbatim because he's very precise about the writing that I, you know, when he tells me to write something, he wants it in that order, in that way. He usually gives me a lot of freedom in style and everything. But there are times when he makes it completely exact. And it's like, don't vary it an iota. I have my reasons for putting it in that way. It's like, okay. So I understand him that way now. But a lot of the time he gives me a lot of freedom with it. He inspires me and tells me, you know, not like word for word, but there are times he does word for word dictation and I cannot change it. I am not allowed. And I tried once and he got pretty stroppy with me about it.
I would love to. He was starting to show me something in a picture, you know, and he was showing me two things, and I just can't get it. I'm racking my brain all day. I just can't get it.
Mm. Well, don't rack your brain, because you're not going to get it that way.
I guess I shouldn't, but I'm just upset that I just didn't get up.
Well, when you go to bed, just pray and ask him, invite him in, and say, Holy Spirit, I invite you in to reveal to me if I still need to know that information that you were trying to share with me yesterday. Please reveal it to me. And I'm just going to rest in you. Open my ears and seal my instructions. In Jesus' name. Nighty-night. Go to bed.
Yeah.
Do it like that. Don't make it a big, you know, it doesn't have to be a big issue. Because
I just feel like, oh, man, I ignored him. I didn't get up. I'm lazy. And then I thought, oh, now he might not tell me, and then I'm going, oh, I missed an opportunity to hear from him, you know, and I'm going, oh.
Well, do you know what the good part of that is, Gwen, is that you're caring about your relationship with him.
I am.
Okay, so even if you don't get it, again, if that's not going to be revealed for whatever reason, whatever time, his will, fine. And you may, I don't know, I'm not going to say. That's between you and him. But regardless of that, you're sensitive enough to him and to your relationship that you're not only hearing him, but you're concerned when you don't pay attention. That's great movement. You know,
yeah,
that means you care about the relationship.
If he woke me up in the middle of the night, he'd have a need or something.
Mm.
And I would listen to him in the middle of the night.
Yep.
You know.
Well, we're learning how to listen to Holy Spirit in the middle of the night. Okay?
I wonder why my screen is jumping all over the place.
So it's not that we, you know, write it off as, oh, we just lost out or whatever in terms of, you know, each time, each one of those things is a learning experience. And the fact that you actually really are concerned about your relationship, that's going to mean the most to him. Yes, he wants to tell you these things because he wants to help you. He's a helper. But if you didn't get it, but you're concerned that you didn't get it, not concerned that you didn't get it so you feel condemned, but concerned you didn't get it, oh, I missed it. It'd be like missing a phone call from somebody, you know, in New York, and you were really waiting for that phone call, or not even waiting, but you haven't heard from them in a while. And you missed that phone call because you were out. It would be feeling like that. But you care about that person. You're like, oh, I wish I'd gotten that phone call. So, you know,
that's exactly how I'm feeling. I wish I would have just listened. Got up.
You know, and that means it's a real relationship.
Oh, that's good. Thank you for that. That's encouraging.
Yeah, that's really what it is saying. Okay, sometimes we blow it. That's true. You know, if we're going to pretend that we never blow it, then we're lying to ourselves. We do. Sometimes we blow it, and, you know, we prefer that we hadn't. But it does happen. But the fact that you're concerned that you blew it means that your relationship with him is real. Otherwise, who are you talking about?
I just knew he was late.
Wake us up sometimes bolt upright. We know those times, you know, because you're awake.
Uh-huh.
You're completely awake for a particular person, whether it's an instruction, whether it's you need to intercede, whether he's giving you a gift in the middle of the night, he'll do that as well. And he'll wake you up and you'll be absolutely awake for that 30 seconds. Or if it's an intercession, you might have to actually physically get up and pray for the person. But if it's something like a gift to you or an information, you'll wake up for that brief period of time completely awake and then absolutely out again. That's how he'll do it. He's God. Because he's God, we can sometimes become a little bit of imbalanced in our view. He is we're having a relationship with God. And his name's Holy Spirit. And in many ways, it's similar to our human relationships in terms of some of the dynamics. Some of the, you know, just the ways that we'll like you said, you missed hearing from him. And it's like missing somebody who called you in another state and you hadn't heard from them for a while and you're really upset you missed the call. We can, with him, in many ways, it's very similar to just relationship. God made us in relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit made us in his image. So we're made like Elohim, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're made like that. In constant we are in constant relationship with something all the time. You know, we've got a body. We've got a soul. We've got a spirit. So there's a relationship even in that. And we're without being in connection with him, we don't have, you know, none of that's going to work. We won't even breathe without God. Whether we know God or not isn't even the issue. But then once we know him, relationship then becomes a something that develops. And as it develops, we don't have to work it all out. We're just learning how to relate to him. It's like a new, look, it shouldn't have been a new relationship, but most of us have not been taught that as soon as we're born again, we've got the indwelt spirit. And then when he comes upon us, we're filled with his power on top of it. And that we're meant to relate to him. Not just go, oh, good, I tick box, oh, I did the baptism in the water. He's treated like he's water, a bunch of water that we got baptized in. Oh, yeah, I did that. 1976. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then I did that. Uh-huh. Yeah, I confess Christ. Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, it's all done. Confess Christ. Did the Holy Ghost thing. Yep, speak in tongues. You got baptized, yep, in the water, immersed in water. Yeah, I'm good. And that's how he's treated for the rest of their lives. So when we're learning how to be with him, we need to be a little bit easier on ourselves that we're learning how to be with him. We haven't known. We haven't known how to be with him.
When you're thinking on him, when you're thinking to him. You know, I notice in some of your teachings or talking, sometimes you say, well, speak it out loud. Speak it out loud. But doesn't he? Isn't he the discerner and intent of our heart? Can't we always pray silently too? Can't we just think on him and talk to him mentally?
No, you know why? You know why there's a difference? Because what does it say?
I would like to know. Yes.
Because what does it say? Confess with your mouth,
okay,
Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that he rose from the dead. Your faith is in the inside, and he knows whether you mean it or not. Your mouth is speaking the truth aloud. And that speaking the truth aloud is making it like a declaration, and you are making a commitment. That's like vowing with God, a covenant with God. I'm not saying you can't, like, let's say if you're in a situation where you can't talk out loud.
Yeah.
And you've just got to pray to him. And I've done that many times, and things still work, and things still move. Prayers still get answered. I'm not saying...
Because you don't know what to
That's
pray
right.
in the situation.
It's not yeah. a rule. But what the reason I say that to people in most of those instances, if not all of them, when I've said that, is because I know they need to make a declaration and a commitment to him on that issue.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay.
It's not like it's not as heartfelt if you're not saying it aloud. But I know when you speak it out of your mouth, I'm sorry, you know, it's like heaven hears and so does hell. Hell doesn't know what you're saying if you keep it in your head. You're declaring, this I mean. Because it would be
wow.
It would be very easy to not declare and to just say, I said it in my head. But there's nowhere near the same commitment if you just say it in your head.
Well, I mean, just in talking with him.
Him, talk him any way you want. You can sing to him. You can talk in your head. You can, you know.
That's what I mean.
Oh,
I
no.
talk to him all the time. I feel like I have this abiding, I'm abiding more with him than I always
oh, absolutely.
Have felt abiding.
Absolutely.
And then, so that's how I, but when we have an area that we really want to, I understand. Yeah. Confessing with our mouth and declare something.
That's the difference.
That's what, you know, like yeah. a breakthrough in a certain area and stuff. Okay. That's where the power, okay. And believe in our heart. Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's what, it's only because he's shown me that, and not that I figured it out beforehand. He would just tell them to say it aloud. You know, it's like, I'm a brain box here.
Okay.
I'm just following instructions. I'm following instructions, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
I will know him as good as you do. How's that? I'm declaring and believing in my heart that I will know and hear him as well as you do, Jesse.
Well, why don't you go beyond that?
I want those instructions. I want to talk to him. I want him just, you know, all day long. I could just visit with him all day long. I'm alone most of the time.
Well, you probably do hear him that way.
I do.
You just don't think you do. That's all it is. You just don't think you do.
Oh, that is wonderful, huh? He is a person.
I know.
Personality, person, everything.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely doesn't.
He told me on that dare about being his bride. He told me, what do you think of me? You know? And I thought, this is hard. And then he says, I save every tear.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh. I don't know why he saves them.
You don't know why he saves them? Because they're precious to him.
I know. And he says, I save every tear. And I'm going, you do? You know? I'm going, wow. Yeah. He goes, because I love you that much. And I went, wow.
Well, it's just like your own child, isn't it? I mean, you know, we feel, so, especially when they're young, you feel so tender towards them, don't you?
Yeah.
And you look, when they cry, even if they've been naughty, when they cry because they're hurt because you smacked them or perhaps they, you know, they can feel, they are feeling badly for what they've done. And their little tears, I can remember, you know, my son's tears, the little bulbous tears pouring out of his big brown eyes, you know, and you just want to hold, oh, let me save all those. Those are precious, you know, these sweet little tears.
I used to try to get them to stop crying. I would lick the tears off their cheeks. Oh. Come here, let me have one of them. And I'd lick them. Oh, they'd laugh, yeah.
Oh, they would laugh. Stop. Okay.
That's yeah, they'd laugh and stop crying, you know. If they felt as great, then I'd go, oh, come here, and I'd make them better. And then I'd lick their tears.
Oh.
Silly. But they'd make them laugh.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, it's that kind of tenderness that he feels towards
yeah.
us. Yeah. Because we're not.
I'm getting to know that. I'm getting to know that.
We're not the big shots we think we are. He's like, you're such a kid, you know? He's, you know, you're a toddler. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
You're a toddler, you know? A toddler too big for their britches, thinking, you know, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. I mean, remember, isn't it that there's that scripture in James, and it says, oh, and you're going to go here for a year. We're going to go to this city for a year and that city for the year. Only if the God, if God wills.
Only if God wills.
You know, it's like, well, you've got all these big plans. This is my big plan. You know, and we know how God is with plans. Come on. You know, do they not always get interrupted, our little plans? I had completely different plans than, you know, than are playing out this year. But they're better plans that he's given me. So I'm quite happy with the change of plans. I wasn't initially. And it wasn't like he was changing it. There were just situations that were very complex and entangled, and they had to stop. And so those plans where we, you know, where we thought are the direction we were going in, just were cut off. And then he gave a whole completely different direction. And I mean, he did it like overnight.
Wow.
It was incredible.
Wow.
It just happened overnight. And I went, oh, and I didn't, it was almost like we didn't miss a beat. I didn't even feel, you know, I might have had maybe for a short period of time, and then he, being the comforter, comforted me with the letdown, because it was discouraging. And then he comforted me, and then I wasn't even worried about it. And then he totally, and then he, my, because I let him comfort me, I was able to then, because I wasn't trying to comfort myself or making myself feel better, that I was really horribly disappointed and all this stuff. I just said, I cannot comfort myself. You comfort me. He did. Then my heart opened. And I asked for something completely different, and he just went whirlwind.
Wow.
And that's how it works. But see, if we try to self-comfort, get ourselves over it, because we think, again, we're not toddlers. We think, you know, we're 65-year-olds in terms of spirituality. You know,
yeah.
You know, so we think, oh, no, I've got it together. I should be able to do this by now. No. That's why there's a comforter there. There's a reason he has that name. So we ask him to comfort us, to help us, to get us through whatever it is. He does it, and then our hearts can open because we're not hurting anymore, and we can go to the new place that he wants to take us to anyway.
And it's,
we just need to stop trying to control our relationship with him and let him even lead us there, because he has a lot better idea and a lot greater depth of understanding of what really is going to be, is going to bring us together, he and us. He knows. And if we try to do it ourselves, or we try to go in a certain direction, you know, whether it's trying to do the behavioral modification, oh, if I don't do this, 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 and this, I'm okay. And, or to do the other side of where I can do anything I want, who cares? None of those, it considers relationship with him. Both of those options don't even think, he's not even in the picture. It's all about me. Oh, I better, if I keep all the rules, I'll be okay. Oh, I don't have to keep any rules now. Oh, isn't that good? It's me. I don't have to. I do have to. There's no relationship there. So if what we do is we go to him and we say, I don't even know how to have a relationship with you. And I'm not saying you're in that place, but when we're starting, or
I'm
when
starting,
you know,
you
know, or when we're on the way, you know, I'm down the road now with him. But I still need to go. This, whatever it is that I'm, this is that I'm doing, whatever the this is not working. Help me. Take me to the next level. And then he says, I am the next level. And you go, oh, wow, that sounds really good. Okay. Show me about that, because I don't even get that. I know my mind just got blown, but you're the next level,
yeah.
Holy Spirit? Wow. All right. I know it's good, but I don't understand it yet. And he'll take me to that place, not so much even the understanding, although that'll come, but it'll take me to the experience and the place and the union of what it means to have him be the next level. It's not looking for the next trick, the next gimmick, the next new way to do healing, or the next new way to do ministry. No. The next new way to relate to the, you know, your neighbor. No. I'm the next level. So it means the living God is the next level. Always.
Always.
In everything.
I love how you just said that. I wrote that down. He knows how to bring us into oneness with him.
Mm.
That is so good. Posted. He knows how to bring us into oneness with him. When our heart's right, show me the grace thing and show me the law thing. And enlighten me.
Yeah.
And let me have the, you are grace. Jesus is grace. And because of what he did. And I'm going, oh, that's so good. So basically, it's falling in love with Jesus and understanding how much he loves us through that whipping post and cross and asking Holy Spirit to bring us into.
Yeah.
That is really good. I'll just keep asking Holy Spirit to just keep revealing Jesus and help me fall in love with him more and more.
That's it. And then there's no effort.
No.
You know, there's no effort in that.
But I do want to spend time with him all the time, Holy Spirit.
You're meant to. You were meant. Look, you know the funny. He's just saying this to me now. Is the funny thing is that we think that, oh, I've got to spend time, even though we should set aside time, just like with your husband or your children or people that you love. You want to set special time and, you know, take that time out, quality time or whatever. So, yes, it's important. But the funny thing is we say, oh, I want to spend time with him. He's in us all the time. How do you get away?
Yeah.
Where are we going to not spend time with him? Really, we can't go anywhere not to spend time with him. But we can either refuse to, meaning to or not, to pay attention to him. We're always spending time with him. It's automatic. Whether or not we want to engage with him is something else. You know, we can engage or not engage. That part is ours.
That's good.
So, and if we get that, then there's not that strife of, oh, I got to be good, I didn't spend time. If you just go, well, he's always there, so I can, at any moment, can just engage with him and say, oh, Holy Spirit, this is really hard today, or, oh, I love that, or, can you show me about this? I don't get it, or how can I be better to that person, because they really rankle me, you know, and I just want to punch their nose in, you know, or whatever it is, you know, that real.
Yeah, at the party and stuff, I felt like